And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
The Athletic.
Oh, oh, what? Sam Kerr, gone and done!
Russo's in there! That will do it for Manchester United.
Beckmead steadies herself and scores a stunning goal!
We have a special Athletic Women's Football podcast from Arsenal today. We only wish it would have ended better on the night.
Yes, it is geschafft! Glückwunsch, Wolfsburg! Nach einem Drama im Emirates!
Producer Abby and I have hung around past the final whistle, and for once, we're not in a dark car park. You get to hear every angle of the Champions League semi-final with Wolfsburg, and we'll also be keeping you up to date with all the latest stories from the women's game, including exclusive interviews with Kenza Dali and Faye White. Plus, other special guests will be popping by to guide us through the episode. I was going to say the full 90 minutes, but of course, it went to 120. Let's begin with producer Abby and some reaction on the final whistle.
As the full-time whistle blows here at Emirates Stadium, that sort of silence tells you that the result has not gone the way of the home crowd, a record-breaking home crowd here at Emirates. The crowd, though, get behind the team. Over 60,000 people have come to watch a phenomenally entertaining result, but it is Wolfsburg who come away 5-4 winners on aggregate. They go through to the UEFA Women's Champions League final and have the right to face Barcelona for that trophy. It has been a thoroughly entertaining match here. Alongside me to take it all in was Michael Cox. Michael, just sum up that game, because I'm exhausted having watched it. It's been a thoroughly entertaining game.
Yeah, it's exhausting just watching players go down injured, which I think was the main theme of second half and extra time. And it was a really tough way for Arsenal to lose it, obviously. I said to you about 10 minutes before that final goal that Yula Brand had almost the freshest fresh legs you'll ever see, because everyone else was dropping like flies. And she's a brilliant player. I mean, she could easily start in this team. And she came on and she just had so much more energy than everyone else. And it was her that won the ball really high up for the winner. But yeah, desperate way for Arsenal to lose the game. I think over the two legs, I think Arsenal were marginally the better side. Just conceded a couple of really poor goals. The second one in the first game and the third one here.
And it is the substitutions that really tells the story of this tie, because, as we know, Arsenal are very depleted. Without five players now, as we saw Laura Wiener-Reuter go down as well with what I suspect will probably turn out to be an ACL. And it was the winner, Bremer, who was able to score the winner for Wolfsburg. And you look at Hurtig, you look at Kuhl that came on for Arsenal, they weren't able to impact the game in the same way that Wolfsburg were.
No, you're right. I mean, in January, even before the injuries to Little and Williamson, Jonas Eidevall was making big things, saying, I want more players in, we need more depth. They did get Pullover and Kuhl in. I thought Pullover was excellent today, particularly in the second half. She's not a central midfielder, but she played that role really well. But yeah, it was just about energy. Arsenal just ran out of legs, ran out of players. And I think that's really where Wolfsburg just had the edge. I think in extra time, Wolfsburg probably, wouldn't say they deserved to win it, but I think they were the more likely to score.
And looking ahead to the final now, we know it's going to be Barcelona versus Wolfsburg. You've been at all four of the semi-finals, is that correct?
Not at Barcelona.
But seeing them all, how do you expect that final to play out?
I think Barcelona will be favourites. I think they'll dominate possession. I think Wolfsburg, I haven't been that impressed with them over these two legs, actually. I don't think they've had that many spells of dominance. I know it's a bit of a kind of cliche thing to say about German teams, but they do kind of get the job done. They do take the chances. But yeah, I think Barcelona start as strong favourites for the final.
I'm going to put you in a sort of Gary Neville-esque position here. Give me who's impressed you the most? Who would you say has been the player of the tie?
I like Jons Dossier. I think she was the only way really Wolfsburg threatened in the first game was darting all balls to her in behind, and I think she offered a threat again today. But I didn't think it was a tie of individuals. I thought it was two pretty well-drilled teams, and I think in all four ties, with the exception probably of Caroline Graham Hansen for Barcelona, it's been such of a high quality that I don't think individuals have stood out. I think the tactical level's been really high, and it's a shame that really an error has decided what was a really good tie over two legs.
It is indeed. The players now just starting their lap of honour. Those who are left in the crowd paying their respects for what has been the most entertaining up-down of ties. Man, we see Manu Zinsberger down here finding someone who has got a sign up saying, "Manu, please can I have your gloves?" Getting one of them. There's McCabe and Raffaele who are leading this lap of honour. I've got to say, both of those players were outstanding today.
It's like Williamson.
It does look like Williamson, strapping round her right knee. I hear that Williamson had been pulling pints in one of the pubs beforehand. And Michael, I mean, we're going to be hearing a lot about the attendance. 60,063 here. It's record-breaking for a women's club football match here in this country. And it has been a phenomenal atmosphere. It really did drive this match on and on. And it just means so much to see that many people not only buy the tickets but actually attend.
Yeah, it's been really big. And I think what is noticeable, having been at three of the four games, is not just that it's full here. There's a really, like, everyone's completely into it. And I think at Chelsea and at Wolfsburg, it was quite flat. It was quite timid. You know, Arsenal haven't just done this overnight. They've had a few games here. They've ramped it up gradually. And it was a really good attendance here. So, it's not just about bums on seats. I think it's about people coming back and people understanding how to create an atmosphere. And they've definitely done that today.
If they have. Well, here in the ground is my Arsenal friend, Ian Stone, presenter of the Athletic's Arsenal podcast, Handbreak Off. Your first women's match here at Emirates,
yeah.
Record-breaking attendance. How have you found the atmosphere?
It was great. It was an amazing spectacle. Gutted the way it went. Absolutely gutted. I love the way the tension built up. It's sad that it went the wrong way. But Lotta will get looked after, won't she? I thought it was amazing. 60,063 people for a women's club match. It's never happened in this country before. And I think it'll build from here, won't it, really?
Absolutely, it will. It makes you proud of your club, right?
It's the Arsenal. Whoever pulls on the shirt. I don't mind. I don't care what sex they are. I'm just cheering them on. And Abby invited me to come along, and I thought, of course, I'm going to come along and watch a spectacle like that. Wolfsburg are that's a grand European team, though, Champions League winners. And Arsenal had a lot of injuries, and they pushed them so close. And it speaks a lot to the squad, because they're missing some big, big players. And it's just incredibly impressive what I've just watched.
It absolutely is. It's absolutely gutting for Arsenal fans the way that it's turned out. We'll get more reaction, more analysis of this match in just a moment.
Oh, and jetzt zu dribbeln. Super mutig. Brandt, Destin, Bremer! Robin Moy mit dem entscheidenden Fehler! Bremer drückt ihn über die Linie und bringt Wolfsburg. So sieht's aus ins Endspiel dieser Champions League Spielzeit.
To lose in virtually the last few minutes of the game, that is a really, really tough one to take. But like, I'm still immensely proud of the girls and everything that we've done, given the amount of injuries we have, and just shows the mentality we've all got, and we all stuck together towards the very end. And look, absolutely gutted, but still so proud of everyone.
It's a really good feeling. Obviously, for me, being in the finals is also something new. I haven't come that far in the Champions League, so this is like a dream. And also all the credits to Arsenal. They made it very tough for us, but extremely happy that we won.
You will have Barcelona next in the final. We know what a mammoth task it will be to try and beat them. How are you feeling going into that?
Yeah, obviously it's going to be a tough challenge, but also, yeah, it's just one game. It's not like the semifinals, two games. It's one game, 90 minutes, hopefully. And yeah, I think anything can happen. I think we have to be brave, and we've got nothing to lose, and yeah, we just need to go for it.
I think we've learned that we all have the ultimate respect for opposition. Wolfsburg, again, were great right until the very end. They gave us such a huge challenge over. I've lost count of how many minutes we've played against them now, but yeah, we've learned ultimate respect, huge amount of pride for everyone, and we know that we can go and compete at the highest level, and we look forward to hopefully being in these kind of positions next year, hopefully.
Right, well, the crowd is beginning to die down a bit. We've still got a huge contingent at the tunnel, just still supporting the women as they slowly continue to make their way off the pitch. But here in our spot, I've been joined by Arsenal women's legend Faye White, and I'm here with Chloe Morgan as well, our women's football editor. Faye, firstly, let's put the result aside for the moment. The crowd, 60,063. I mean, did you ever in your life think this could be possible?
No, certainly wished it when we were playing. I remember playing here with, I think it was about 5,000 in this stand a year or so after it opened. And yeah, I was up in the box with a couple of former players, and we were like, you know, this is what we were waiting for. And so yeah, it's brilliant to see it. It's been growing, hasn't it, in the earlier rounds, and since obviously that the summer where the Lionesses brought it home. And now the club are putting a lot of, you know, more jewel in it, in you know, the way they market it and everything with the men's team, and playing more games regularly. The crowds are growing, and it just shows that the people will come out and support the women's team and want to cheer them on. And what a great game it was.
A huge advert for how phenomenal women's football is. And I mean, talking about, you know, Arsenal growing the game, it's been fixture on fixture, round upon round. That is something that the club is really, really intentionally focused on, and that kind of comes from you and your team and building Arsenal as a club brand. So just mean everything that to see what happens here now.
Yeah, no, like I say, it's been years in the making, really. Not only when we were on the field playing and trying to encourage more fans to support the women's game, but also the club, just to branch out in different areas to, you know, really grow the fan base of the women's game and give them this kind of platform. But then equally, when I retired, I carried on working for the club, and, you know, it was this in trying to promote you know, the team and get more people coming and bums on seats, really. And obviously there's a few little things behind the scenes that make it harder to do that, but obviously as the demand's been there, and then once, you know, the top guys at the top of the club put their backing behind it and then see the potential and sponsors starting to come on board and everything, then it just shows that this could become more of a regular occurrence. Obviously it's on a Maybank holiday, which helps, I think, because we know the women's games, even like the Lionesses, but all clubs in the women's game, it's a family-based, you know, crowd. So, you know, making it easy to bring your children, to bring families, is important.
And Chloe, I mean, you know, you've played the game and seeing this, I mean, you were living this game, I think it's fair to say. I think we all were living this game. But, I mean, sum it up. How did you find it?
I think it's just disappointing. I think there were large moments of the game that I thought Arsenal were going to take it through to the final, and that would have been amazing to see, sort of in Eindhoven, having an Arsenal-Barca final would have been an incredible moment. And I feel really sorry for, you know, the players, like, to lose the game in the sort of dying minutes through an error at the back, essentially. And I've got to give credit to Lotta Wubermoyer. I mean, she's had an incredible game, absolutely fantastic, so robust at the back. Obviously, you know, they've not been great defensively with, like, the injuries that they've had, so they have come up against it. It's an uphill battle. But, you know, credit to the depth of the squad, because those players stepping in and performing to that level, and, you know, even so, sort of, you know, almost making it to the final, I think was huge. But yeah, I think, like Faye was saying, I think you know, the crowd here has been absolutely phenomenal. Everyone seems to have got behind them, you know, 60,000 people here. And, you know, there was even a decision in the first half, and I think the ref was swayed by the crowd and the energy that they were giving. And it was amazing to see some of the players as well. I mean, in particular Katie McCabe and Manuela Zinsberger hyping up the crowd, you know, riling them up, getting them going, and the crowd was so responsive, giving it that big energy. So I know it sounds like a cheesy cliche, but I really feel they were the 12th player today. They would give it everything.
Absolutely. And Faye, I've got to talk to you about the defence. As Chloe says, you know, the Arsenal team have been
ripped to shreds because of all of the injuries. And a lot of people would have looked at Ruben Moy and Beattie coming in, not being Arsenal's strongest players. But actually, the defence, albeit letting in three goals, has been, I think, it surprised a lot of people how robust it's been, and all led by Raffaele, who has been a sensation.
Yeah, no, I don't, I think they defended well for large parts. I thought Ruben Moy made an outstanding challenge down there, and I was off my seat, just celebrating it like I would a goal, because I was a defender, so I appreciate that. She made another great one here, and thought she was having she had a great game. It's just that, unfortunately, as a defender, you make that error, playing out from the back, just took too long on the ball and got dispossession. Tired legs, tired minds. And that's something, as a young player, you have to learn and grow. Sometimes those hard moments are what make you, bounce back and make you make none of those decisions again, basically, because she will be feeling it now, I'm sure, in that team. No matter what anyone says to her, she will feel it and feel the disappointment even more so. But I thought, the defence played well. When you look at the players that are out, and really Arsenal were up against it, they've had a goal disallowed for offside, they've hit the bar, sometimes you just need a bit of fortune. And I mean, I've played against German international teams, but also in the Champions League for Arsenal. And I mean, they just find a way to win, and you have to be, you have to put your chances away. You have to not make those errors. I think in the first game, the away game, we gave the silly mistake as well that gifted them a goal, and you just can't do that. So that's the finer margins and the bits that, obviously, if you want to get to the finals, you have to get out your, stamp out of your game. But the Arsenal, I think it's about fifth or sixth time semi-finals now. I remember playing in the semi-finals, obviously got to the final in 2007, and we're still the club in England that has got the furthest in this tournament for over a longer period of time. So I think Arsenal can be proud of that, and it looks like we're back there at that level where we need to be, really.
We've got to make a stick in the league as well. I mean, let's remember, it is Wolfsburg who have won this game. We can talk about Arsenal as much as we like, and I would like to. The key battle seemed to be Jonas Dottir versus Maritz in that first half. And Jonas Dottir really is, for a lot of us, has been that star player from the Wolfsburg team today. Is that something you'd concur with?
Yeah, no, she was a threat. They didn't use her a lot. I thought, you would feed her more. I thought Katie McCabe come out and kind of tried to battle with her as well. But yeah, she is so quick, isn't it? And she's so good with the strength in her running as well, because you could see the players trying to lean into her at one point down here and on the left side, and she still managed to get past them. But yeah, she's that threat, and pace always gives it to you, doesn't it? As a defender, it scares you, and you have to be on your game. You have to give that extra yard, but when you're so powerful dribbling with the ball, it's hard. And obviously they've got some great players all over the field, and they just find a way to win, really, which is the frustrating thing about the Germans, obviously, from my point of view, having played them so many times. But you can't, credit to them. They've got good players. Obviously, Janssen and Jill Roord, we know from being at Arsenal. And obviously, a lot of the others were in the final in the Euros, weren't they, playing against England. So they're players that we all know about. But equally, that's their A team, their starting team, whereas we had, six players, even another. Laura getting injured again when he's just made the change at right back. Hopefully that's not too serious either, but it's almost like a patched up Arsenal team, and yet they produce that. So, I think he's going to be proud, and that's meant to build on, isn't it?
It absolutely is. I mean, you've sort of bring up the Wolfsburg players. You look at the subs they were able to bring on: Jule Brand, Paulina Bremner, who was able to score the winner, and Vasmuth. They're all players that we got to know quite well during the Euros. Chloe, they face Barcelona. Do you see anyone being able to stop the might of Alexia Putellas and co?
I mean, it's such bad timing for Wolfsburg with Putellas coming back into the squad. I mean, amazing for Putellas. Obviously, it's incredible to see, such amazing talent coming back in. But Barca have just looked so strong. I mean, they had a little bit of a kind of torrid time against Chelsea in the semi-final. But at the same time, when you look at their performances across the league, winning every single game. I think they've got a goal difference of plus 100. And they not took Chelsea apart, but it was a very dominant performance. So I think coming into this game, the bets are on Chelsea. Barca. Sorry. Wolfsburg are going to have a tough time. I think they had a tough time in this game as well. So yeah, I think Barca are too strong at the moment. I don't see this going any other way.
And Faye, just before I let you go, I've got to ask. I mean, the here at Emirates recently changed all of the covers on the outside. How does it feel having your face out there, you know, proudly alongside all of the Arsenal legends. You have obviously got your rightful place in amongst them, and that must fill you with a lot of pride, seeing.
Yeah, of course. I love my time here at the club. I was one club girl from the age of 16, 17 when I signed, all the way through to the end of my career. So, you know, it's a special place, it's a special time in my life, and I felt so fortunate to play and captain the club for so long. And I brought my son here today because he's an Arsenal fan as well. I've made him be an Arsenal fan, but obviously the men are top of the league for a long time, and the women are obviously always strong in the women's game anyway. But yeah, I took him round the stadium at the start. We got here nice and early to have a look and have my photo. He's a bit shy because there's lots of people out there, but I was like, look, that's mummy. You know? And he's like, yeah, mum, whatever. He's grown up with, yeah, mum, telling me always, I used to play. I played with her. I played at this stadium. And he's like, yeah, whatever, mum. So, he's enjoyed it, although not the result today. But, yeah, it's great to be on there. It's nice touch now that the women's team and the history, and that's the thing with Arsenal, we've had a long history in always supporting the women's game, and that's what I think I champion this club about, is because they were here and done it before a lot of other clubs have started to put that finance in, and we almost paved the way and showed the way of how you can do it, and obviously now going the next step, which is playing more regularly at here. So yeah, it's great to see, and it kind of does put a lump in your throat when you see and you hear the chants, and you're like, oh my god, what would I be feeling if I was out on that field? And you know, I would have relished it and loved it.
It's fantastic to hear. Faye, thank you so much for your time.
No worries. Thank you.
We come to a Champions League semi-final and we make it to the tiniest of margin. With all the injuries we have, with all the challenges we have, we do that, and that is actually incredible. And I'm so proud of the players and the staff that they're able to do that.
Chloe, let's just spend a bit more time looking back on that match. My heart rate's starting to go down a little bit. My stress level's got to 78 according to my watch, so that tells you how intensely I was taking in that game. I've got to ask you, what positives can Arsenal take from this match? Because we're saying the same things, the injuries, but they've gone to 120 minutes here. They put up a huge, huge fight. And if nothing else, it's going to give them a lot of belief into what is going to be a phenomenally competitive league running.
Yeah, I mean, this is a squad that's been absolutely decimated by injuries this season. But I think what I saw today was a number of captains. I think, you know, without Kim Little, without Leah Williamson there, you're kind of looking at who's going to be the person, the experienced player who's going to really rally the troops and get them going. And I think we saw that in McCabe. Like, she was delivering big, classic McCabe energy, those clattering tackles, that aggressiveness, that desire. And I think that filtered through to the players. I mean, I was looking through on some of the social and the comments that were happening, and everyone was saying, you know, all the players are channeling Katie McCabe energy this game. And I think, you know, you're looking at Jen Beattie. I mean, Jen Beattie's not had a lot of minutes this season, but she comes on and she starts the game, and she's, you know, scoring an incredibly epic salmon-like header through the crowd. And then you look at someone like Lotta Wivenmoe, who's, you know, single-handedly defending for her life. There was so much, like, the emergency defending that was going on from her. It could have easily been, you know, three, four goals that Wolfsburg had in them, were it not for those, like, last-minute sliding tackles. So, yeah, she was unfortunate in that last minute, but you know, the squad had just played 120 minutes of football. They were probably slightly, and I say very slightly, the underdogs going into this game. We look at them in the first leg, obviously they came back from the two-goal deficit, and then we look at them going into this, and there was that mentality of just the heart, the desire, the passion, and I saw that from every single player. And I've got to give a massive shout out as well to Rafaela, because I thought she had an outstanding game. Also, another potential sort of captaincy type vibe coming from her. So there was a lot of dominant players out there who had heart, drive and belief.
Yeah, some of the passes from Raffaele were absolutely outstanding throughout the game. And you mentioned Jen Beattie with the goal. I like to call it, she's gone into the Millie Bright role.
Yes.
I feel like that's Serena Wiegmann putting the defender up into the centre-forward position. I think she should probably trademark that at this point in time. All right, well, we are being kicked out here, so we better leave our station here at Emirates Stadium. It's been a fantastic afternoon and evening here at Emirates Club. Very much, huge thank you to Arsenal for letting us in, putting on a phenomenal show. And we'll get a bit more from the rest of the weekend in women's football after this.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone?
Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
So it was energy zapping for the players at Arsenal, as we heard there, but not only the players, also all of the media and everyone watching, a sold out crowd in the Emirates Stadium, and it was such a disappointing finish. But disappointment all round, really, because both Chelsea and Arsenal failed to make it to the final of the Women's Champions League this year. Let's go to that other match. Barcelona 1, Chelsea 1, 2-1 on aggregate, and Charlotte Harper was there.
Hello, it's Charlotte Harper here. I'm back from my adventures in Barcelona. And the Catalan giants went into their Champions League second leg semi-final as heavy favourites. Up until this point, they had won every game at Camp Nou and recorded frightening scorelines of 5-2, 5-1, 3-0, 6-0 and 5-1. That's 24 goals scored, an average of 4.8 per game. So you can understand why Chelsea fans were a bit nervous going into this fixture. And the Barcelona crowd were as well. At the start of the game, it was quite tense. It was a bit jittery. But what's great about the Barca fans is that they follow the ebb and flow of the game. Unlike the PSG ultras, which are just bashing their drum throughout, creating quite a steady rhythm. Whenever Chelsea had the ball, the Barca fans were producing these piercing whistles. It was like a ticking time bomb just waiting for them to lose the ball. And when they did regain possession, then the drumbeat starts and then the chanting starts and Barcelona looked comfortable and in control. And they did have the better chances in the first half. Chelsea did not register a single shot, but Barcelona didn't have a shot on target either. And it was only in the second half when Caroline Graham Hansen broke the deadlock in the 63rd minute. But then Wrighton hit back straight away 4 minutes later. And that's credit to Chelsea. They rattled Barcelona. And the fact that they got a 1-1 draw, no one has ever done that at the Nou Camp. I don't think anyone has even gone in at half-time 0-0. And Aitana Bonmatí did admit that, you know, they did feel some panic among the Barcelona team. But Barcelona have produced consistent performances. They're now into their third straight Women's Champions League final, their fourth in 5 years. And we've come to expect that they'll be in the final, and they deserve to be on centre stage at PSV Eindhoven on June the 3rd.
Speaking of Barcelona, who must be in the hot seat to become Champions League winners, I know it is just a one-off game, but they did look in such superior form in that Chelsea game, and you wonder what Wolfsburg are going to be able to do against them. They also became Liga FA Campeones at the weekend. Producer Abby gave me a nod of approval there for my pronunciation. Their fourth straight win. They've won all their matches, scoring over 100 goals in the process, but they're not scoring quite as many as they did last season. So maybe there is some hope for Wolfsburg after all. Pateas made her long-awaited return, or maybe not again, because she could be back in the squad. She played the final 15 minutes of that match. And on the subject of title winners as well, continuing our European roundup, Roma won their first women's Serie A title too at the weekend. Roma are on course for the treble, having already won the Supercoppa Italiana in November. They face Juve in the Coppa Italia final on June the 4th.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
This is the Athletic Women's Football Podcast with Lindsay Hooper.
Champions League has rightly dominated this show, especially when we're in semi-final stage and we know that the final now awaits. But I do want to dive back into WSL because some huge results this weekend that has a huge implication when it comes to the table. So let's start with Leicester beating Liverpool 4-0. I don't think anyone saw the Foxes putting four past the Reds. It means they're out of the drop zone temporarily. And I suppose as well, Chloe, it heaps more pressure on Kelly Chambers and Reading.
Massively. I think, you know, at the start of the season, obviously Leicester have been in and around the bottom now for a couple of seasons, and everyone's been expecting them to drop off and eventually go back down to the Championship. But I think credit to them. I mean, they've come off the back of a really bad run of results back before Christmas. But then when you look at how their performances have been since January, Willie Kirk has done absolute wonders. I mean, you know, the first couple of games that he took charge in, you know, just before Christmas, didn't really go his way, but I think January they reset themselves, seemed to find some form, and then all of a sudden they've now seemed to have got themselves out of the relegation zone, and there's, you know, Reading seem to be now in the thick of it. But I think it's been one of the spiciest WSL, not title races, but the relegation battles where the drama is now.
It is, and I don't think we can say it's done and dusted purely for the fact that if you look at Leicester's next fixtures, they've got Arsenal and Chelsea, so you would think they had to win that game against Liverpool. They've added a bit of goal difference there as well by putting four past them, but it's another one that could go to the final day.
100%. I think, you know, the back end of May is going to be where the juicy fixtures are. I mean, not only, yeah, like you were saying, for the title race, but for the relegation. But, yeah, it's going to be an interesting one. I think the league probably would like to see maybe Reading go down. I think there's always a feel that Leicester just about hang on every single season. And it feels like the same thing this year. They just refuse to go back down to the Championship.
I flip that around though and say that there's a lot of people that have huge respect for the job that they're doing on such a tight budget, as Kelly Chambers has pointed out to us. So I do wonder if there's also a fraternity, if you like, of women's football that's really rooting for them to do well, because they're not one of the big boys, so to speak, or big girls. They haven't got that Premier League allegiance. And you do think that if we go too much down that direction, I'd love your opinion on it, if every single team in the WSL ends up being attached to a Premier League side, what that does for the game overall. Do we not secretly want a Reading to be up there fighting?
I think secretly we do, but I think generally how the WSL looks, I think the money that you need to stay in the WSL, you've got to be able to compete with the likes of Marnham, Blackstinius, Kerr in this league. So in order to do that, you've got to buy in international talent. So unless you are attached to a Premier League outfit, you're really not going to be able to compete in that same way. And you will see ridiculous results starting to take place as the gap widens. So yes, it would be amazing for a team like Reading to be able to stay in the WSL, but realistically, long term, I don't see that happening.
Remind us of the table at the bottom then, because Liverpool mathematically are not safe yet, so I'm guessing we're going from them downwards.
So it's 8 points clear at the moment. They sit in seventh, but yeah, I mean, we've still got so many games still left to play that, yes, statistically, they could still be dropping down. But whether that will happen, I really, really doubt that.
I think they will be mathematically safe soon enough. Yeah. I think they haven't got to worry. I don't think West Ham have got to worry. But, yeah, anyone towards those bottom spaces between Leicester, Brighton, Reading, you think it's going to be one of them? And even Spurs could still get dragged into that.
Well, I think Spurs are almost most at risk because they've played 19 games and they're only on 14 points. So you've still got Leicester and also Brighton with a game in hand to them, and they've only got to get one more win before all of a sudden Tottenham are back in 11th place again.
They do have Beth England though, and she's worth 6 points, I think.
I mean, Beth England has done her absolute best since January, but it doesn't seem to have done too much. You can score
scoring
all the goals in the
goals
world.
On losing side. There, it was like a record, wasn't it, at one point of the season. Let's turn our attention then back to the top, because Manchester City, they went one down to Reading and then came back, put on a brilliant performance to win 4-1. I mean, at the Academy Stadium, it looks like such an ask for anyone to turn them over there. They've just had a brilliant season at home. And again, you know, Chloe Kelly started them off. She's someone who's been in brilliant form. We saw Bunny Shaw go back to the top of the goal-scoring charts, just above Rachel Daly, who'd had a brilliant weekend as well. So your opinion on Man City this season, and if they fall short of getting one of the Champions League places or qualification, is it a failure for them?
I think it would be a failure for them, given how this half of the season's gone. I think at the start, again, we
saw a Man City come out of the blocks very, very shaky in September with a sort of bad run, well, not a bad run of results, but a couple of fixtures that didn't go their way that they were expected to. But I think Gareth Taylor's done absolute wonders for them. I mean, they've got a massive run of wins behind them. Again, the cohesion between Kelly, Hemp, Shaw, I just think it's been absolutely phenomenal. So I think anything short of getting a Champions League spot, would be disappointing. I'd be disappointed, yeah.
After the West Ham game, it was the first time a manager has spoken to me about goal difference when it comes to the title race. No one had really mentioned it. I've mentioned it a few times in questions, but no one's brought it up to me. And Gareth Taylor offered that up after that result. Again, four more goals here. And you think that's going to be partly to play. Surely, if you've got plus 10 over any of your rivals, that's another point.
Yeah, for sure. But I mean, goal difference obviously only impacts you if you're getting those points in the first place. I mean, goal difference is something you look at secondary. So for me, it's about getting points on the board. And I think Man City have done so well to do that in the first place. But I mean, if you want to talk about goal difference, you've got to talk about Man United, because their defensive record is unbelievable. I mean, I've never seen anything like it. To concede only 11 goals in a season, that's so much credit to the back line, and also Mary Earps, who I could rave about all day.
and defences win titles. We're always told that. I'm speaking to a former goalkeeper. You're going to be right on board with that theory.
Well, it's the clean sheets that matter every day. I mean, we've seen Mary Earps break a record this year with a 50 WSL clean sheets. Up until like last weekend, I mean, she only had 9 goals conceded. I mean, Mary Earps, she's got to come off the back of a couple of like maybe not the greatest performances on an international level, but on a league level, she's been absolutely phenomenal. Yeah,
it doesn't hurt either, does it, when your defenders pop up with a 90 plus minute goal like Millie Turner did?
It never hurts to be that versatile.
Can't wait to see how this all unfolds. Speaking of Manchester United, they managed to beat Aston Villa. I do feel for Rachel Daly in the same way I feel for Beth England, because she's getting all of those goals and in some of the important matches as well. But for this one, it was all about that turnaround at the end of the game. To talk about that match and more about the title race as well, and Villa having a say in it, which is what we've all been saying, here's Ken Zardali.
Kenza, Aston Villa were so close to getting a point off Manchester United, only for Millie Turner to score in injury time on Friday. What learnings did you take that from that game as a team?
I think I'm really proud of the performance we put on. I think no one expects Villa to be at that level. But I think that's the difference between the top four right now and us. We conceded against Chelsea as well. We put on a really good performance and then we didn't get the result that we wanted. Same with United. So like when you reflect on that, you're like, okay, we do the most difficult things in terms of like scoring 2 goals at United when they didn't concede that much goals this season. It's just about details. As we say in French, I don't know if you got this expression in English, but we say devil is in the details. It's a bit us right now against the top four. So yes, just reflect on how we can do better in terms of defensively. They score in 2 set pieces. Like it was second phase, but still it's a bit shame because we defended really well during like the 90 minutes, except in the 3 goals. And yeah, that's what big team does. They punish you.
And how do you bridge that gap between you and the big four?
I think it's about, it's a lot of things, to be honest. When you watch the depth of player the top four got, the bench, how many experienced international player they have, I think this league is really competitive and physical, so you need to be ready to have injury. It's a part of football, but most in this league as well, because it's really demanding. So you need more depth, I think we say. You need
depth.
More player. You need more player, like to be able to come on and make the difference. You need to have because we went through injury a lot in this season. We lost a lot of player for like sometimes a short time, sometimes a long time injury. And obviously, sometimes we were really short on the bench. It's important to have that. As well on the pitch, I think we need to manage the game better, be a bit smarter. What do you want at 2-2? Do you want to take a point? Do you want to go for the win? Do you want... That's where we need to manage better. And yes, about momentum. We touched the crossbar against United at 2-2. At 2-1, actually. We were 2-1 when Rachel Daly got the crossbar, I think. If you score this one, you're 3-1. They're not coming back. So yeah, it's about details like this that Aston Villa is quite a new club still. I think they did really, really well. Credit to them in two windows to change completely the team and the mindset and the ambition of the club. So yeah, it's just about building, and I think the next season is going to be the most difficult. It's about, yeah, when you have a really good season, the most difficult things is to perform the season after. We saw it with Tottenham, we saw it with Everton, we saw it with Reading, with West Ham as well. So yeah, just learning every season.
You joined from Everton and you've had an incredible season. Started every game in every competition, 5 league goals, 7 assists this season. What's been the key for you?
I'm not really into statistics. All the time my coach tell me, oh, yeah, this weekend you could be at 8 assists, I think, 8. Yeah, people watching that, I'm not. I'm more someone to watch the performance individually and collectively more than being the best assist in the league, or I saw there's a table, because I received some comments saying, oh, with that assist, when Rach touched the crossbar, you could be second in the league after Ona. Things like this, I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, that's not really important for me. I'm watching about the result of the team. I know today football is about statistic. I know about individual trophy, social media, things like this. It's all about who's the best cover, who's the best assist, things like this. I think it's a bit of a shame, and I don't really like that. I think football is, the beauty of football is because we're a team. There's 18 players. So yeah, I'm watching the performances. I try to help my team be the best version of myself for them. And yeah, I think Carla really gave me this freedom this season. I think she really understood me from the start. And that really helped me on the pitch to be the best version of myself.
You spoke about being a team player. You've been the core of Aston Villa, but you've also struck a really good partnership with Rachel Daly, Daly and Daly.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Rachel, we always say we speak the same languages. Obviously, it's not French. It's football. It's just easy to play with quality player. We don't actually work on that. People think like we're working a lot on that connection. It's really natural. It's just the best number 9, I think, this season, I will say, with Bunny Shaw. And it's easy. It's easy to play with her. She's moving all the time. She's scoring goals. That's, it's just easy.
And your friends off the pitch as well. I've seen some activity on social media.
Yeah, we met at West Ham when she came on loan from Houston, and we directly start to be friends. She's a great girl, a great character to have around. She's really competitive, which I really like that, because I'm a bit like this. You need player like this as well. But yeah, she's my friend. She's my teammate, and I'm always say to her from the start, when we decide to join Villa together, that was the things too. She was a part of my decision as well. I always say to her, I want you to finish Golden Boots. That's the only statistic I'm watching, is how I can get Rachel the Golden Boots. I really want that. If she get it, that would be my proudest things this season.
That's a very nice thing to say about your teammate, and shows how selfless you are. Your final 3 fixtures, Reading, Liverpool and Arsenal, Villa could have a say in whether Arsenal make the Champions League. Does that add a little bit of extra determination?
I got my friend at United, you know. I spent just this weekend with her. And she told me, you need to be at your best against Arsenal. She started to put pressure on myself. Now, you know, like, I think no one really enjoyed to play Villa this season. And I quite like that. I want to be that team that you don't want to play against. But yeah, it's going to be important for Arsenal. It's going to be important for us too, because Everton is just behind. And obviously, as I say to the group, we've done nothing yet. Everyone's speaking about Villa, how we play, how attractive we are and stuff. But at the end of the season, if you finish behind Everton, that will not be a successful season. So that three last games are massive for us. So everyone I know is tired, needs a break. That's where good teams keep going until the last game. And we need to be that team.
You can't say you haven't had value for money in this show. We've had Champions League, a European roundup, WSL, relegation and titles covered. I'm expecting good things on our handle at The Athletic FC and at Offside Rule Pod. We will be back with our normal show next week.
The Athletic.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.